Good morning. It is so good to be with you this morning. I was joking around with some of you before the service, and if I seem a little dazed and confused this morning, I had my mother-in-law staying with us for the last 12 days, and she just left yesterday. So, and I love my mother-in-law, but she's still a mother-in-law, you know. You all understand how that is, but it is so good to be with you this morning. So good to see some familiar faces. Good to see some new faces. Good to celebrate new life and children and exciting stuff. And it's just an honor for me to be with you this morning and the next few Sundays. We're going to be looking at Psalm 23 over the next few weeks. So if you have your Bibles, I'd invite you to turn there. Psalm 23, probably the most well-known of all the Psalms. A beautiful Psalm. I'm going to read it for you, and then we're going to focus in mainly on verse 1 this morning. Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." A Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Most of you are probably familiar with that. I know as a pastor for years, almost every funeral service I've ever been involved with or have led, they've always asked me, "Pastor, can you include Psalm 23 in this?" And rightfully so, right? It mentions walking through the valley of shadow of death, but being comforted by the shepherd. It mentions that surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. These are great things, and it's a great psalm, but I really think the most important verse to really understand is the first verse. And we're going to kind of build a foundation this morning from Psalm 23 and some other scriptures of the importance of who the shepherd is. It says in verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now in your Bibles, in English, the Lord should be all caps, because this is Yahweh. This is the covenantal name of God. So important to understand this. Going back to Exodus chapter 3, God appears to Moses in a burning bush, and the bush is on fire but not being consumed. And Moses comes and he talks to Moses and he's calling Moses to go to Egypt to deliver his people from slavery. And in the midst of calling him, Moses is like, "Okay, this sounds kind of scary. What shall I tell the people when I go down there and tell them I'm here to free you? What shall I say to them? Who shall I say sent me?" In Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Say to this people of Israel, I am has sent me to you." We sang about it this morning, the great I am. This is Yahweh. This is the God of the covenant. He is the deliverer. He's the one who's going to not only save the people, but he's going to enter into a covenant relationship, giving them the law on Sinai. But not only that, he says in verse 6, and he said to Moses, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And it said, Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Not only does he enter into relationship with the nation of Israel, but before them, he comes and he meets with Abram, and he calls him to say, "Leave your father's house and the land that you know, and go to a land I will show you, and I will bless you. I'll make your name great. I'll give you numerous descendants." It's Yahweh doing this. He is the God of the covenant. Again, we looked at Psalm 23. The title says, "A Psalm of David." Scholars debate, is the titles or the little inscriptions sometimes on some of the Psalms, are they inspired by God? And there's debate there. But we do know that the earliest manuscripts we have include these titles. And we do know for all of church history up until the last 100 years or so, every scholar said, yeah, Psalm 23 is a Psalm of David. And you've got to remember, it is David, this little shepherd boy, God called the prophet Samuel. I think last time I was with you, I shared about David and Goliath. And he called the prophet Samuel to go to the house of Jesse and said, "There you will find the next king of Israel." And he goes and he looks at all the sons of Jesse, and none of them are it. And Samuel's a little confused, saying, hey, do you have anybody else? And they're like, well, we have that, the youngest, we have that one guy out with the sheep. Well, bring him in. And sure enough, it's the little shepherd boy that is anointed to be the next king of Israel. And it's this little shepherd boy, when he's king of Israel, he wants to build a house for God. He wants to build the temple. And God comes to him and says, no, David, you will not build me a house. I will build you a house. And you will have a descendant that will sit on the throne forever and ever. His rule will never end. This is Yahweh. He is the God of covenant. He is the God of promises. He is the God who is faithful. And David is saying that it is Yahweh who is his shepherd. Now again, for a lot of people, especially hearing this and reading this psalm, they understood because Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they all were shepherds. Moses was a shepherd of his father-in-law's flock for 40 years. David was a shepherd. In all my life, I've only met two people that were shepherds. We don't fully understand, what does it mean to be a shepherd? Now, I tried, and it did not work. I tried to convince my wife. I said, honey, next year of school, we're going to focus on Psalm 23. You know what would be really cool? It'd be really cool if I could get a couple lambs, right? Just a couple babies, and I could raise them. I could be like the shepherd, and I could call them, and they'd come to me, and I'd be like, bah, and they'd be like, bah. You know, like, wouldn't that be awesome? And she's like, no. I'm like, okay. You have to understand, like, you have to choose your fights, right, men? You had to choose your fights, and I wasn't willing to go for war for the sheep, but I wanted to be a shepherd. I couldn't be, but I read a lot about being a shepherd, and I've learned a lot about what it means to be a shepherd. Philip Keller, he wrote three books on what it's like to be a shepherd. He wrote one, it's kind of a modern-day classic, called A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23. And in that, he said, we could use the term my shepherd, or we could replace it. And there's a couple other terms we could use that maybe make more sense to us in a modern-day context. He said, we could say, the Lord is my manager. I was like, that's interesting. But there's some truth to that. Right? I remember back when I was in high school and you get your first jobs and there's a manager, right? And the manager has to make sure that these high school boys are doing what they should be doing. The manager's concerned with the day-to-day operations. He has the big picture in mind. He knows what needs to be done. And he's coming along saying, okay, Jeremy, are you doing this? Jeremy, you need to do this. Hey, guys, stop moving off over here. Go do this. There's a customer over there. Go. Right? And the manager has to make sure that things are functioning and operating the way they should. And he's got to get people on task to accomplish goals. And I'm like, yeah, that's right. God is like a manager. Another phrase that could be put in here, he's my shepherd, he's my manager, he's my owner. And this one got me. Chuck talked about this. God is over everything. He owns everything. And if I say Yahweh is my shepherd, what I'm saying is, I'm his. He's got the rights to me. He's over me. He's above me. And I'm his. I belong to him. Now, what this implies is, it says a lot about God, but it also says something about us. If he's the shepherd, that makes us sheep. Philip Keller again talks about this. He said, sheep do not just take care of themselves. He said they require more than any other class of livestock, endless attention and meticulous care. Now, that's a nice way of saying it, but I'll put it in a more common way. Sheep are dumb. That's what he's saying. Every book I read, you hear about sheep and some of the things they've done, and they aren't the brightest. They really aren't. And you and I'm including myself in that, you and I are sheep. Now, I will confess to you, in preparation for this, I spent a lot of time in the Word, spent a lot of time in prayer. I also spent too much time on YouTube. And I typed in dumb sheep. And video after video, it was hilarious, right? They'd be trying to get the last little bit of food from the bucket, and the bucket would get stuck on their head, and they'd just walk around with a bucket on their head. There was one, you can find it, it was hilarious. There was a sheep that got stuck in a ditch. It was a crevice, and it was stuck in the crevice, the ditch, and the shepherd goes and pulls it out, and it's so happy, it's like, meh, and it starts just gallivanting off, and it jumps in the air like this big celebration, and it lands right back down in the ditch again. It's sheep. And guess what? The Lord, Yahweh, is our shepherd. What great news. He cares for us. He sees us day to day. He's over us. We're his, but we're sheep. And that means we're not the brightest. And see, what we see here is, in Psalm 23, we're going to learn a lot about the shepherd and what he does for us. But what we see throughout the scripture is he is the greatest shepherd. And we're sheep. And oftentimes we stray time and time again. And we do dumb things over and over and over again. And we see this pattern developing in the scripture. If you have your Bibles, we're gonna jump around a little bit. Turn to Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel is a prophet that's writing during the time of the captivity, during the time of the exile. So what happens is God is a good shepherd, and he has great leaders like Abraham and Moses and David. But over time, like foolish sheep, Israel listens to other people. And they follow other shepherds that aren't so good. And even though David and Moses and Abraham, they're called shepherds, and they're leading on behalf of God, other kings come in and they're not good. And they lead the flock astray. In fact, it gets to a point where they're so bad that the flock's scattered everywhere. In Ezekiel 34, the prophet is condemning the bad shepherds of Israel. He's blasting them. And he's pointing out, the flock is weak. They're not doing well, and you did nothing to strengthen them. They're sick, and as a shepherd, you should help heal them and bring health, and you're doing nothing to help them. They're injured, you don't bound them up. They stray away, and you don't bring them back. They're lost, and you don't go and seek after them like a good shepherd should. And you rule over them, not with kindness, not with gentleness, not with care, but you're harsh. And you use force. And it's all about you. And God condemns them. And he speaks up and he reminds them, I am your shepherd. He says, starting in verse 13, I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries. Remember, they had been dispersed because of their disobedience. I will bring them into their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines and all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. What does Psalm 23 say? The good shepherd, the Lord my shepherd, makes me lie down in green pasture. And here Ezekiel's repeating those words, echoing those words from the mouth of God himself. Verse 15, I love this. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. A reminder, even though the sheep wander and stray, even though the shepherds that God puts in place of his own flock to rule on his behalf are unfaithful and fail, God reminds them, I'm the good shepherd. I will step in. I will take care of my flock. I will bring them back and care for them. And he does. If you know the story, they're in exile for 70 years, but he brings them back. He uses a foreign king named Cyrus. He even calls him his shepherd at one point. And Cyrus allows the people to come back. But guess what? They're still sheep. And when God brings them back to the land and restores them, guess what they do? Rebel again. They listen to other shepherds. They go astray, just like sheep always do. Zechariah comes. He's one of the minor prophets near the end of the Old Testament period. And he comes and he points out the goodness of God and the greatness of God. And he tells them, God will provide you grain. God is your shepherd. He'll take care of you. Again, Zechariah 10, verse 1. He says, ask rain from the Lord in the season of the spring rain. For the Lord, all caps, Yahweh, who makes the storm clouds, he will give them showers of rain to everyone the vegetation in the field. Verse 2. For the household gods utter nonsense. And the diviners see lies, and they tell false dreams and give empty consolation. These are the other voices they heard, and they began to follow instead of God's voice. False gods that utter nonsense. false prophets that give false hope, false consolation. I mean, I love the Word of God because isn't this relevant? So many people follow false gods. They listen to these false voices, hoping to get some kind of consolation, hoping to get some kind of hope, encouragement, and they're empty. It says this, God looks at the people that he's restored time and time again. He looks at the people that he's brought back from exile, and they're still straying away. And it says, therefore, the people wander like sheep. They are afflicted for lack of a shepherd. You know, at the end of the Old Testament, there's 400 years of silence. But they don't hear from God. But then again, the silence is broken. And angels come to shepherds that are watching their flocks and proclaim, there's good news because to you this day, a Savior has been born. And this Savior is Jesus. And Jesus comes on the scene, and in his ministry, guess what he does? He picks up on the shepherd theme. The sheep again have strayed. The sheep again have gone on their own, listening to false voices, doing all the things that sheep do. And Jesus comes on the scene, and he starts using this shepherd language. John chapter 10, for example. This is probably the most explicit thing that he does. Jesus is having confrontation. He goes to his hometown, reject him. The religious leaders are attacking him. The religious leaders look at Jesus and say, you're demon-possessed. He's like, what about the miracles I'm performing? They say, well, that's the power of Satan himself. And Jesus goes and he says this in John chapter 10. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Again, this is a beautiful image of what shepherds are supposed to do. When shepherds bring the sheep out of the city and they go out into the country and they stay there for quite a while, they will build a fold or a pen. Normally it's just out of rocks. They'll find the fields, maybe some wood. They'll put thorns and bristles around the top of it. And there's only one opening. And every night they'll go out from grazing in the pasture land. They'll come back to the fold and the sheep will all go in. And that one opening is where the shepherd stays. He sleeps there. He's going to make sure that his sheep are safe. And if anything tries to get the sheep, they're going to have to go through him. And Jesus is saying, I am the door. I am that gate. My sheep come in and they're safe. The thieves, he says in verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I, the shepherd, I come that they may have life and have it abundantly. You know, the offer is still true for all of us. Jesus is still the door. He's still that gate to go through, to come in and find safety and comfort. But he goes on in verse 11, and he makes it very explicit. I am the good shepherd. Remember, how did God reveal himself to Moses? I am Yahweh. And Jesus is saying what? I am Yahweh. Yeah, that's me in the flesh. And I'm the good shepherd. You know the one David talked about? You know the one who appeared to Moses? You know the one who made the promises to Abraham? I am. I'm that good shepherd. And probably the clearest place he does it is Mark chapter 6. Turn real quick to Mark chapter 6. Just an amazing passage. It's the story of the feeding of the 5,000. There's only two stories that all four Gospels talk about. The death and resurrection of Jesus and the feeding of the 5,000. So it's in pretty good company. It's a pretty important passage. And in Mark chapter 6, I've got to turn there myself, starting in around verse 30. Jesus had sent the disciples out, and they had performed all these miracles. And they come back, just absolutely excited about what they've seen done in the name of Jesus. Verse 30, the apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw that they were going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. And when they went ashore, he saw a great crowd and had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Does that sound familiar? He saw the crowds and he had compassion because they were sheep without a shepherd. Matthew makes it even clearer in his account. Matthew 9:36 says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Doesn't that sound like Zechariah chapter 10? Where they follow the false gods and they listen to the false teachers and they try to find hope in the false message and the lies that people were feeding them. And God had compassion because they were lost, because they were people without a shepherd. That's what's happening here. And it goes on, starting in verse 37. The disciples said, hey, in verse 35, and when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place. Now listen, it's the third time they mention it's a desolate place. Take note of that. In the Bible, when you're reading and it keeps repeating something, it's normally done for a reason. So the third time they say it's a desolate place, and the hour is now late, send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered them, you give them something to eat. I love Jesus. He has a little bit of sass sometimes. He has a little bit of attitude sometimes, right? Like, Jesus, come, look at all these people. You gotta feed them. What's going to go on here? He's like, you feed them. Can you imagine being the disciples? You're tired. You're exhausted. You've been out ministering for such a long time. Jesus, we got a problem here. This is a desolate place, a wilderness. There's nothing. They need something to eat. You take care of it. I love it. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat? Now, one denarii was about one day's wage. So 200 days worth of working in your wage wouldn't even feed all of them. And he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Now, the other Gospels tell us they found a little boy, right? The little boy had 5 and 2, and the little boy's like, here, you can have it. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on green grass, and they sat down in groups by hundreds and fifties. Now, I have to pause here in verse 39. He had them take a seat in green grass. Now, the reason why they talk about, like, we picture a chair, right? Like, pulling out a chair, like, here, have a seat. That's not how they ate back then. Remember the Lord's Supper, the Passover, he celebrated them? What were they doing? Reclining. In the Greek here, it doesn't say they sat down. It says they laid down in green pastures. Psalm 23. Ezekiel talks about that, right? In the desolate places, in the wilderness, they will have their food, they will eat. So Jesus commands them to lay down and divide into groups. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all, and they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. Why 12 baskets? Well, there's 12 disciples. But the 12 disciples represented the 12 tribes of Israel. And remember what Ezekiel said. In the ravines and on the mountains and the desolate places, God himself, the shepherd, will feed the people, all of Israel that he'll bring back. And now they have 12 baskets full, representing all of Israel being taken care of by the Good Shepherd himself. The Lord Yahweh is my shepherd. I shall not want. Here, more than 5,000 men plus women and children, scholars say probably 12,000 to 14,000 people Because they are with the good shepherd himself, we're satisfied. One scholar says that, you know, we have the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, but it's more a cause and effect. Because Yahweh is my shepherd, because I have a relationship with Yahweh, I lack nothing. Now this morning, the big question, the two questions I have to leave with all of you is this. Is Yahweh, is Jesus your shepherd? We're going to spend the next couple weeks really just focusing in on Psalm 23. This is kind of an overview of the shepherd theme. All these wonderful things come because you have a relationship with God. I've been to so many funerals, like I said before, and they said, read Psalm 23, right? They want the comfort when you walk through the valley of shadow of death. They want to think about their loved one being in the house of the Lord forever. But I always have to ask them, I always think, but was God your shepherd? Was he your manager in the day-to-day operations of your life? Was he your owner? Did you recognize he was above you and he had the rights to you as you lived? They want to think about the benefits that come from the relationship with the shepherd, but was he actually your shepherd? Did you go through the door of the sheep pen that is Jesus himself? Did you enter in by the one way that is Jesus? That's it. He said, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for his sheep. And he did. He laid down his life. The question this morning is he your shepherd? Do you have that relationship with Jesus Christ? Did you admit, God, I am a dumb sheep. I have strayed away. I have heard and followed so many other voices. I have listened to lies hoping that I would get something from it, and I did not. My prayer is that this morning, if he's not your shepherd, you hear his voice calling to you, and you'll respond. But here's the thing, I know a lot of you, I've had a relationship with you for years now, and I know based on your testimony and based on the fruit of your life, I know that you would say, yes, the Lord is my shepherd. So here's a question for you. Are you discontent? David said, the Lord is my shepherd. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing, is another translation of this. Are you going around this morning saying, yeah, God, I know I have you. You're my shepherd. I have a relationship with you, but you're so dissatisfied. And you have so many wants and desires that you're trying to fill in other places still. I'm not really big into Christian cliches and stuff, but there is one that I really like where it says, Jesus plus nothing equals everything. I'm not a mathematician, but that sounds right to me. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. If Jesus is your shepherd, he's a good shepherd. He's given everything. Crucified, laid behind a stone, condemned to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. He thought of us. He did it for his Father, and he did it for us. The shepherd will give you everything you want. The next several weeks, we'll look at that. We'll look at what comes from having this personal relationship with the good shepherd. But I want to challenge you this morning. If he's not your shepherd, he's calling. Listen to his voice. Enter through that gate. If he is your shepherd, and yet you're just discontent this morning, you're unsatisfied this morning, you're trying to have desires met in other places, from other people, other things, it's foolishness. Don't do it. I'll admit personally, talking to Chuck about this beforehand, there's been a lot of ups and downs for me. It's been a crazy year for me in so many ways. And it's so easy to become
dissatisfied. It's so easy to become restless. It's so easy to look and say, man, I bet the grass is greener over there. Man, I bet that shepherd, I bet he gives his sheep better grass than mine. It's easy to do that. I've been struggling with that personally. But I got to tell you, Jesus gives you everything you need. He completely satisfies. So this morning, I want to challenge you. If he's not your shepherd, I'd love to talk to you more about that. And you making a decision to have him your shepherd and him lead you. If he is your shepherd and you're just struggling with finding satisfaction in other places, man, I'd love to pray with you that you'd find your satisfaction in him who provides everything you need. Let's pray this morning.
Father God, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that you, the Lord, the God of the covenant promises, the promises you made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the promises you made to Moses and the people on Sinai, the promises you made to David, the promises you made through Jesus, you are Yahweh. And Father God, you are the great shepherd. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And you are. There's other shepherds that lead people astray. Sometimes there's wolves that are dressed like sheep that seek to devour and kill and destroy. But we know you are the good shepherd. Like you prophesied in Ezekiel, you yourself will come and shepherd your people and lead your people, and you will feed them and care for them and provide for them. And you've done that through Jesus, and we thank you and we praise you for that. I pray, Father God, that every person who's hearing your word this morning, that you would use your words to accomplish what you desire. Maybe for some, that is admitting and recognizing that you indeed are the good shepherd and entering into your flock this morning. I pray that that would take place. And for others, Father God, myself included, I'm a dumb sheep, Father. And sometimes I try to find satisfaction, and I have all these wants that aren't necessarily from you. And I seek other places to have them filled, and it just doesn't work. So, Father God, I know I need to seek you and find satisfaction in you, recognizing you provide everything I need, more than everything I need. So, Father God, help me to do that. Maybe there's some brothers and sisters in the Lord this morning that have the same struggle. If there's some things in their life maybe no one else even knows about, that they've been seeking after, trying to find satisfaction, trying to have their wants fulfilled, and they know it just doesn't work, and it's wrong. I pray that you'd help them make that right this morning. I pray that they would turn back to you and follow you. We love you and we thank you. I pray this in your holy name. Amen.